So we're still in how, and as we'll also talk on a little bit one more on how we worship something else. So gratitude has worship. The passage today, Luke 17, 11 to 19. You know, lepers were ostracized from society. In Leviticus 14, it talked about what lepers had to do if they were going to be accepted back into society. If I were a leper, I would have to move away from our home. I cannot be in church. I would have to move outside of the state, outside to a deserted colony place. I can't have contact with society. The only people I can be around would be other lepers. Completely ostracized. If by some miracle the leprosy is healed, and leprosy, as I understood, extended to, it wasn't just the medical diagnosis leprosy, it was other diseases as well that was grouped as leprosy. If by some miracle I'm healed, you need to go to the priest. If you want to read about it, read Leviticus 14 later. And you would look, and I would wash and shave all my hair, including my eyebrows, everything. I'm going to stay out of my house for 7 days. I offer a second sacrifice, and finally, go home. You can imagine how they were looked upon, how they were disdained. So much so that I like the way in this, we're going to watch, this is a very short clip from The Chosen. I like the way they depicted it. You know, when I think of Apostle John, I think of gentle John, lying on Jesus. He brought his sword when a leper was coming. There's another story about, apart from the one we read this morning with the 10 lepers. And you know, because they are also the society, so sometimes they were grouped together. But this was a lone leper, so the different parts of the gospel. And gentle John was like, "You move closer, I insult you." Mess with that. I want us to catch a great glimpse of it.
To spoil this beautiful day or anything, huh? Come on. Not to spoil this beautiful day or anything, huh? Come on.
It's a leper! Stay back! Cover your mouth! Don't breathe his air! Don't come any closer.
It's okay, John. It's okay.
Rabbi, no. Rabbi,
Rabbi,
you
Rabbi,
cannot. His disease, you.
Please. Please. Please don't turn away from me.
I won't.
Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Only if you want to, I submit to you. My sister, she was a servant at the wedding. She told me what you can do. I know you can heal me if you are willing.
I knew it. What can I ever do?
No. Do not say.
say anything to anyone.
You don't seek your own honor?
Please just do me this one thing.
But what do I tell people?
Go, show yourself to the priest. Let them inspect you and see that you are cleansed. Make the proper offering in the temple as Moses commanded. And go on your way.
Who has an extra tunic? Just one of you, just one of you. That's enough. Green is definitely your color. Not too shabby.
Hey, it's Dallas and the creator of The Chosen.
I think this is literally one of my favorite scenes. I cried so much because COVID had just started. We health workers were... I heard about England there that people would, when health workers were coming home, people would stay in their verandas and they were clapping for them. It was not that way for us here. We were like, don't come near me. I remember I would get into the garage and strip everything into nylon bag and carry it upstairs, deploying and praying I would not affect my husband with this horrible thing in case I was asymptomatic. And threw it in the washing machine and go in the shower. And I was so happy to have got home. And when I watched that episode during this time, it gave me, because COVID was going on, and because it was, if people knew you were a health worker, just stay away from me, stay away. I just thought about, I mean, this, I thought, lepers really were treated. So, in the story we read this morning, 10 lepers stood at a distance and were shouting, Jesus! Have mercy on us. When he said, go and show yourselves to the priest. That was not a fool's errand. They understood that meant you were healed. As you turn and go, you are healed. So they turned in faith and started going. And as they were going, they were saying, and they were healed. And one of them, just one out of the 10, went to the priest of it and returned him, and he threw himself on the ground and rightly so before Jesus and he thanked him. I imagine, the other 9 felt grateful that they were overjoyed. I imagine so. You know that sometimes the leprosy, the disease leprosy, depending on which one you have, there are 2 types. Because you don't feel it anymore, you begin to carry hot things and so on. And so you see their fingers, it's like they're eaten. It's really bad. They lose their eyebrows, it affects the eyes, they turn inwards. It's really bad. So it affects the whole body. And they begin to see and look at each other. It's like, so I imagine they were overjoyed and felt grateful. Feeling grateful and showing gratitude, going back to say thank you to the benefits. Are we grateful enough when God does things, all that he does for us? Are we grateful enough to stop and pause and express our gratitude, really express our gratitude? Or does it stop at just the joy? Sometimes I start eating something and then I remember as I'm eating, I thanked God. Thank you, Lord, I'm sorry. Even just being able to eat, to breathe, there is nothing we have breathed that we have that we have not received. 1 Corinthians 4:7, can we tell me? And if Uriah can please read it. 1 Corinthians 4:7. So I was supposed to announce that there is no children's church today. Oh, but the evening, the youth will meet. It's the little ones that are not meeting this evening. I don't think the money can. Does she have a lot of money? You should try it again.
Who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you bag as a woman do not?
Thank you. One more time. And I want us to really think about that question. We're going to answer it inside. Thank you, Ryan. Please read it again.
Who makes you different from anyone else?
One.
What do you have that you do not receive?
Two.
And if you did receive it, why do you bag as a woman do not?
Three. May the Lord help us to recognize there is nothing, not just in here, but in there. There is nothing. Is it our beauty? Is it our brilliance, our education? Is it living in this country? There is absolutely our very lives. Nothing we have that we have not received. Who made us different from somebody else? Is it not the Lord? May the Lord give us hearts to every day. I think we ought to come. We ought to wake up. I need to wake up with Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Just overjoyed. We are so privileged. May the Lord help us to be humble and not brag or give him the glory for all he's giving to us. You know, Jesus expected those lepers to come back. What did he say when that leper came? In verse 17. Didn't I heal 10 men? Wait a minute. Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? He expected them to. The Lord doesn't demand. Oh, but he expected them to. He gave them life. They didn't, they were practically dead. You know what I mean? When you're living like you're dead. He gave them new life. Uh-huh. Oh, it's even going to judge. Was God not made me clean? Was I not dead in my sin? Was I not going to hell? He has cleansed us in an even deeper way. Be clean. Oh, eternity is going to be very long. And we will forever and ever be banqueting with God, worshiping instead of burning in hell. And we have been made clean here. Jesus is our righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Lord has blessed us and given us the right to be his children. If he doesn't do anything else for us, he's done more than enough. He has made us clean in an even deeper way. Oh, should we give him praise? The Lord expected them to come back and say thank you and give glory to God. Jesus used those words because he is God. And we ought to go and give glory to God for all he does for us. So the first point, am I grateful enough to return and give God thanks to express it? Second, I need to remember Jesus expects me to go and give him thanks. Number three, if I'm going to be thankful, I need to remember. Let's open to Deuteronomy chapter 8. I need to call to mind actively the things the Lord has done for me, in me. Deuteronomy chapter 8. If I may have Mr. Viola read this. Deuteronomy. What version do you have?
New King James.
New King James. Sister Polaka, do you have NLT or NIV? Who has your NLT? Sister Polaka. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting from verse 1.
Be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land the Lord swore to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord...
Sorry, I want us to be counting how many times the Lord says, remember or do not forget.
Thank you. Verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, they live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord disciplines you for your own good. So obey the commands of the Lord by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. For that is a time to be careful. Beware that it is in your plenty. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God, who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did all this so you will never say to yourself, I have achieved this work with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. So I assure you of this. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path, you also will be destroyed if you refuse to obey the Lord your God.
Thank you. How many times?
It's about 5 times.
6. 6 times in this passage with 19 verses. There's a lot in that passage that's instructive for us. But I was just pointing to the fact that God told me, remember, do not forget. I think that we all need to consciously and deliberately have some mechanism every day to remember God's goodness for that day and in the past, and to thank him. There are many benefits to being grateful to God and expressing it. In the world, the proponents of gratitude, who talk about gratitude, they talk about it reducing anxiety. They talk about it giving you peace. They're talking about gratitude in the vacuum a lot of the times. But we know that we are grateful to the one who made us. They talk about gratitude strengthening you. Gratitude changing, and it's true, changing your perspective. When you call to mind and you write those things down, or you express it, changing your perspective and gratitude in difficult times, it gives you strength and grace to go through it. All these are side effects. You know what I mean? There are rich benefits of gratitude. They shouldn't be the reason that we give thanks to God, because then we're pointing at ourselves. I'm coming to say thank you to you because of what it will do for me. Thank God for the fringe benefits that he attached to expressing thanks to him. It's wonderful. But our reason for going to say thank you to God must be because he's worthy. Must be because we are truly grateful to the one who made us. Do you all know that Jesus gave thanks? He's the one we follow, right?
Yes.
We are to be walking in his footsteps. We read one of them this morning. When he gave thanks, when he broke bread, he gave thanks. When he was about to go to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray that prayer of anguish, do you know he sat with him, with his disciples, and gave thanks? He gave thanks then. When he was going to feed the multitude before he multiplied the bread, our Lord gave thanks. What he was going to do had not happened. He was about to do it. Do you remember when he was about to raise Lazarus? I thank you, my Father, because you always hear me. I know that you always hear me, but I said it for the benefit of these people. He gave thanks. We give thanks. The Bible says, in all things, give thanks. It also says in Ephesians 5:20 that give thanks for all things. Now, I can't be thankful for evil, but because God works all things together, in the midst of the difficulty, I can say, thank you, Lord, for I know you are in control. And I know that in all things, you work everything together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So, we are to give thanks to the Lord. We are to worship God with gratitude. I'd like us to watch one more thing. Please, I'd like us to listen.
Hey, to you, what's your most base sin? If I would say to you, what's your most base sin, your worst action of evil, would you come up with something like failure to be grateful to God? And if a person is truly grateful, He shows it in worship and in service to God.
You know that leper that Jesus, the one that came back to Jesus, you know, Jesus, after he said, we're not all nine cleansed, whereas the other, you remember he said that, is it there only one person who has come, and that person is a Samaritan? From that, I gather that a lot of the others, if not all the others, were actually Jews. Jesus, you know what I'm saying? And that a foreigner. This was a Samaritan. This is the person. This is the person from the group that the, in quote, pure Jews regarded as idolatrous half-breeds. You remember we talked about it, how the Samaritans were from the northern kingdom. We talked about it. So the pure Jews regarded them as, you are idolatrous half-breeds. Look down on them. And this is the one who came back to say thank you. Jesus said, he mentioned, he said, I've got a foreigner. So they were supposed to know better. In Romans, it talks about the fact that these are the ones, the Jews are the ones that God has given, they are the ones with the patriarchs. They are the ones who are given the law. They are the ones, it's a lot in Romans chapter 9, that they had everything. They're the ones who get, who have the Torah, who have the Tanakh. They have it. We expected better. How about you and that? We are the ones with salvation. We are the ones with the Holy Spirit. We are the ones with the freedom to worship without fearing for our lives right now. We are the ones with more than one Bible in our houses. We are the ones who, many of us grew up in Christian homes. The Lord has a right to expect so much more from us. If we're truly grateful, we will express it in worship and in service. We were talking about hands. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 4:14. First Timothy 4:14, and anybody who's there, please put up your hand if you're there first. Yes. Anybody? Please, can you bring the microphone to the front? It's good to see you. One more time. Please, let's listen to that.
Do not neglect your gifts which are given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you.
Thank you. Please, let's speak to the mic. I'm still going to go to 2 Timothy. If you and I are grateful to God, we express it in worship and service. That includes using our gifts. We are going to give an account, you know. First person, you gave me 5, I multiplied it, now it's 10. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You gave me 2, now it's 4. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You gave me 1. I know that you reap where you don't sow. I buried it. Here's your thanks, Eva. You wicked. Wicked. So you know that I saw where I don't plant. And you should have given it to the bankers, then you have yielded increased. Take that one from him. Give it to the one who has 10. Cast him out. Oh yeah. To fear, cast him out. God expects us not to neglect the gift. There is no one who has been born of the Spirit of God who does not have a gift from God. What are you doing with your gift? How are you edifying the body of Christ with what God has given to you? Maybe you're using your natural gift in the marketplace. What I mean by that is at work, in school, maybe you're using what you've been given, the natural endowment God has given you. You're using it out there. Well done. But in the body of Christ, we have spiritual gifts. We have ministry gifts. What are you doing with your gifts? Even some natural gifts that God has given you to make use of, to build up his body. What are you doing? Are you neglecting that gift? If we are grateful, we will use this. We will go and find out. I can't say ignorance is a reason. I'm going to put Grandma on the spot again. And then Grandma doesn't talk about this, but Grandma challenges me. The last time we broke bread here on Sunday, Grandma woke up that morning. You know, Grandma bakes the bread in the morning for it, and so it's nice and warm for us. That morning, Grandma was in pain, in a lot of pain. So Grandma's taught me how to bake the bread, but that Saturday she sent word to me and said, don't worry, I'm going to do it. But she woke up in pain. In that pain, Grandma baked the bread that we used for communion. Grandma's faithfulness, you all know Grandma used to get to those drums, and I think she still sneaks and gets to some of the drums in the house. But that will be a said, don't do it. But when we went, showed up, because Grandma was going in and she was stopping, and Grandma's faithfulness just, We have no excuse, We have no excuse. We better not neglect the gift God has given us. And laid on our hands, gift we already know we have. However the Lord gave you the gift, you know you got it. You got it, Jesus. And if you don't know your gift, go pray and find out. 2 Timothy 1 6. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 6.
For this reason, I remind you to find Ethiopia in the gates of God, which is in you, put the name in my hands.
One more time, please.
For this reason, I remind you to find Ethiopia in the gates of God, which is in you, put the name on one of my hands.
Thank you. Can you read one more version, a different version?
Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stirrest the gift of God within thee by the putting on of your hand.
Thank you. Finding into being, stir it up. Use it, grow it, develop it, finding into being. Twice he told Timothy. I wondered whether the word timid came from Timothy. You know, the very next verse, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given you the spirit of fear. He's giving you a spirit that's loving, that's powerful, and that is self-controlled. A spirit that is timid. No, that's not the spirit he's giving us. So if timidity is holding us back, Paul talked to Timothy, and Timothy listened. And he remembered, okay, God's giving me a powerful spirit, a spirit that is loving and self-controlled by the grace of God. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can use my gifts for his glory. I can live a life that is devout unto him. As we conclude, I'll ask if we can put the PowerPoint up. I know we all learn in different ways. Some of us are auditory learners, some of us are visual. And my prayer is that we would remember, we would every day wake up, choose to give thanks to God. So let's start with the first one. It's a The first bit is the reminder of what we read, what we heard R.C. Sproul say. If I were to say to you, what's your most base sin, your worst action of evil, would you come up with Would you come up with failure to be grateful to God? Next one, hardly. Most of us will come up with that. And if a person is truly grateful, he shows it in worship and in service to God. In worship and service to God. I pray we all remember that. Next one. So this is the full one from his from a write-up on the screen, on the internet. If I were to say to you what your most big sin is, your worst act of evil, would you come up with something like failure to be grateful to God? Hardly. But this is our fundamental problem. We think that God owes us everything that we receive and much more. He didn't answer my prayer. I'm angry with God.
Really? Who are you? How dare you?
I prayed. You didn't answer me. How can you not ask? Do we understand that? Inherent in that is a sense of entitlement. Inherent in that is a sense of entitlement. But God owes us nothing but hell. That is the truth. We may not like it, but it's true. Instead, He gives us grace. Instead, He chooses us to be His own. Remember when Job was, when there was that discussion in heaven, and Job was the part of it, and because God boasted about Job, Satan was like, okay, 10 children, coin, all of your possession, coin. And Job said, thinking I came from the womb, thinking I returned, they said, you didn't see. And then Satan went, flesh for flesh, a man will give anything he has for his skin. And God said, okay, you can touch his body, but don't you touch his life. And Satan mocked him in horrible sorts. And Job still didn't sin against the Lord. But he kept on like, God, nobody will answer, nobody could talk to you face to face. By the time God showed himself, you know, God never answered his question, never told him, this is why I did it. Mm-hmm. We are the ones reading in retrospect to know, I mean, the record of scripture. God just showed him, okay, you fit talk to me, Abby, that you make a begging on. This is Ken's paraphrase. And he just, you know, showed him who is God, and Job said, I thought about you. And now I see you. Our God is not an ogre. He is wonderful. In the epistle, I can't remember which one, it says, we've seen that God is compassionate. We see the end of Job. We see the end of Job, that God is compassionate. Those who remember the story know that God gave him so much more than what he had before. And I like to say this as well, that when he gave him 10 more children again, this time after Job had suffered, he made sure his daughters also had an inheritance along with their brothers. Something had changed within him. May we be grateful. Next slide, we're rounding up now. And if a person is truly grateful, he shows it, and he shows it in worship and in service to God. This is why we're here. We have been made clean, and we come to give praise, and we come to give thanks. Amen. Next slide. Yes, that's the right one. Oh, is there one before that? I am God Most High. Do you know this is in the Bible? This is Psalm 50, verse 14. It's the CEV, Contemporary English Version, if you want to go and check it. I am God Most High. The only sacrifice I want is for you to be thankful and to keep your word. There should be one more slide. The sacrifice that honors me, and this is the same Psalm 50, verse 23a. The sacrifice that honors me is the thankful heart. Thankful heart creates a thankful heart, filled with love and understanding, so that grace can be found. Thanks, we give you thanks for all you have done. So blessed, so proud, so can we rise and see that together? Thank
Lord, says, Lord, we give you thanks for all. We are so glad. Our souls have found you. We give you thanks. I invite everybody to begin to thank God. Open your mouth, think, and express thanks to God out loud. And just thank Jesus. Thank the Father. God has been good to us. Thank you. As dawn breaks, The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
the love of God,
and the friendship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen. Goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and
ever.
Amen.
Thank you.